At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Mike Kegley. I will be joined in just a moment by Brad Sturdy and Kedrick Prince. We will go over Illinois' 86-63 victory over Rutgers and the return of one Terrence Shannon Jr. We'll be right back after these messages.
Are you looking to grow your business? Do that with the Illini Guys Radio Network by advertising on the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. The weekly two-hour syndicated show airs on more than 20 stations and is heard in six states throughout the Midwest, including Chicago, St. Louis, the Quad Cities, Peoria, Bloomington, Springfield, Champaign, Decatur, Rockford, and Quincy, just to name a few, with a reach of more than 11 million people. For information, send an email to mike@illiniguys.com and let's work together to grow your business. That's mike@illiniguys.com and let the power and reach of the Illini Guys Network work for you.
And as promised, we have Kedrick Prince here. Kedrick, you were there. Front row seat to the return of Terrence Shannon Jr. Give us your impressions of what happened today.
Illinois did what I thought they should have done and what they were going to do. You know, it was really unique. After the game, I got to sit courtside with Marcus Griffith and Kenny Battle, and we were going at it just about like how good this team really is and their potential. And, you know, Marcus's thing is, hey, they haven't really been tested. I want to see them beat Purdue and go to Maryland and win. Kenny Battle thinks that they're just loaded. They have everything that, you know, that they need. And I kind of agree with Kenny. You know, you saw a performance today with Terrence Shannon coming back, and his legs aren't the same. And so if people really want to know why you miss games and what it's like, and you can work out all you want, his jump shots showed that today. That was the only thing that was missing was his jump shot. So getting another couple of days in practice before they play Northwestern today, once his jump shot comes back to form, they're going to be dangerous. They're a really good team. And I tweeted this, and, you know, from a journalistic standpoint, I probably shouldn't have, but it's a fact. You take away one weapon and another one comes. Quincy Guerrier, we talk about Marcus Damas, but Quincy was solid. Justin Harmon was solid. You know, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, it could be Luke Goody. It could be Coleman Hawkins. This team is really good, and I've said it a million times. Enjoy this ride. They are really, really fun to watch, and the crowd was great. I was really glad to see how the fans supported Terrence Shannon and Coach Underwood, and I give Brad credit. You know, Lauren Tate, one of the, you know, longtime beat writers, was asking all of us how many minutes we thought Terrence was going to play. I'm like, he'll play well over 20, 25 minutes. And I think he was. But great win. You know, Steve Pikel's a good coach, guys.
Yeah, you know, I thought one thing that up until that point, because if you recall, Illinois fans were getting a little nervous when it got to 55-51. And Rutgers had chipped away at Illinois' lead, and I thought Pikel was doing an excellent job of calling plays that got Rutgers open looks. And then all of a sudden we see, it's like handcuffs came out, and we see the Illini defense elevate to a new level, and we see the Illini offense do the same thing. That was really impressive to my eyes.
Mike, Mike, I'm going to tell you something. So I'm a little bit further on the end of the opposing team. Here's what I was really impressed with. I've sat press side for a lot of games and a lot of teams. Every out-of-bounds play that Illinois called, or better, I know what called, and he's changed the name, Rutgers was calling them. There was one that was a dribble handoff. There was one that was a backdoor play. They scouted Illinois because they knew this was a game that they needed to win. It's against a ranked team and on the road. So I'm not saying that they don't scout all the teams that way, but every single, even a sideline out of bounds plays. Brad Underwood threw a new one in today that I'd never seen, which was a lob for Terrence Shannon. I don't think Terrence was looking for it because Coleman threw it, but 99.9% of the time, they had Illinois scout. But you saw the athleticism that Illinois had. They were able to overcome those good scouting report.
Yeah, I thought so as well. And again, I thought the interesting thing was, is the last 10 minutes and 31 seconds of the game, Illinois outscored Rutgers 31 to 12. That was the definition of closing in my eyes.
Mike, it was. That's the sign of a veteran team. I just, you know, it's been such a long time. And, you know, we could go back to Iowa and Kofi. And, you know, Iowa had all those great, you know, game-winning baskets in the end. It was fun. But this is just different because you knew it was those two. And this time I just see different guys. And, you know, the one guy who I'm really, really happy for is Quincy. I mean, I've said that the last podcast. This kid he's not at the top of anybody's scouting report. And if I'm coach scouting against Illinois, he would be there. This kid is a rebounding machine. He's physical. He's a good kid. He's coachable. You know, there was a tweet that Coach Underwood used to me, split to words that I can't repeat. But he was encouraging Quincy just to go get it because he knows how good he is. And it's just nice to see a kid, you know, get an opportunity to play for a school that really, really, really wanted you. Not that the other ones didn't, knowing that you're a big, important part of the team. And, Mike, something I don't hear anymore is this point guard stuff. I don't hear about it anymore. Not heard it. I don't know if they mentioned it on the telecast. That's not going to be an issue for this team.
No, I totally agree. It was definitely something that you didn't hear as much. And I'll be honest with you, I thought Ty Rogers kind of got taken out of the game literally and figuratively by that second foul that was just a total phantom flop. We saw Rutgers team today that they did an awful lot of running into Illinois players and then flopping backwards. And sadly, there was three or four times they were rewarded for that.
Tell you what, Mike, I was trying to watch games, tweet about the game, do recruiting articles, but when I looked up every time there was a controversial call, it appeared to be the same guy most of the time, the tall, skinny guy. Coach Underwood was going to get teed up a couple of times, and, you know, I had a really good angle. I don't know what angle there was on TV, but they called a foul on Coleman Hawkins. And I get sometimes the kids or players will throw their hands over, they'll lean over. I didn't see that. And I've always said this, and anybody who's officiating, please call me out on it. But what I'm tired of is to watch, even if Illinois does it. I watched the Illinois women's game yesterday. If a coach is standing right behind an official, all they have to yell is travel foul or something, and that official is going to throw his hand up and call it. You want me to stop complaining about officiating, then stop doing that. Because Pyko did that a number of times today, and it bailed him out. I'm not a fan.
Yeah, that part I thought was probably the worst part. And again, it was just even when, you know, when you had Fernandez complaining about, you know, getting called for a foul against Coleman Hawkins. I mean, look, they were jawing. We all saw it, but you can't run up to a player from behind and put your shoulder into his back. And if you really want to do stuff like that, it's, you know, kind of man up, I guess, and do it face to face. But I guess Coleman's a pretty big dude. Maybe that's not a realistic thing for Fernandez to do.
Well, what upset Terrence Shannon was, there was something that happened on the previous play this time I was lucky enough because I could hear what the officials were saying, you know, when they were looking at, you know, when they were looking to review it. There was previous conversations and previous things that happened, I guess, according to Terrence. And then that's what led to it, you know. So I didn't see it. And I had a couple of people text me during the game. And I'm like, if you have an opportunity, go back. Looking at, they saw the shove in the back. Obviously, that's why they called it. But Terrence was saying that there was other things prior to that that led up to it.
Yeah, yeah. And very, very much could have been. There. You could tell there was – I'm not saying they were going to fight or anything like that, but you could tell there was some stuff going back and forth, and there was a little bit of let's just say ill will out there on the court. Now, Domask today had 12 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 turnovers, 2 blocks. A good game from him. It seemed like he was, you know, kind of getting used to having Terrence Shannon out there on the court. How did you think Marcus played today?
I think Marcus was great. But what I'm going to tell people, it's going to be really tough for him to continue to put up 28, 30 points. Teams are really taking that away. And tonight I saw guys who was playing help defense, you know, put their hand up in the lane, not guarding anybody, trying to – deter Marcus from going up and over. So him being able to get to the basket is going to be tough. Will he be able to score? I think so, but I don't think it's going to be from 3 or 4 feet, not as effective as it once was. Having Terrence Shannon there is going to help. And Marcus Domask, to me, his best friend is Quincy Guerriere, because that kid can read a defense, he can cut to the basket, and that's what's going to help Marcus's game. Otherwise, every team has done it. The last few games since Northwestern, teams are really starting to defend that differently. And until Illinois figures it out, they're going to continue to do it. Now, case in point, everybody knew what Matt Painter did with Zach Edey guarding Ty Rogers. Brad Underwood countered it, and now teams aren't doing that anymore. So now they're going to have to counter how teams are defending Marcus Domask so he can continue to be effective.
I think the first thing he's got to be willing to do is shoot the open three when he gets it, because if he immediately passes the ball to the next guy or goes to the dribble drive because he doesn't want to put that shot up, if I'm a defender, I drop back another 2-3 feet on him and say, look, you might be able to go past me if I have to defend that three, but if I don't have to defend the three, you're not going to dribble around me.
He's good enough to shoot the ball. I don't think he's shooting the ball as well as he like. I know he's good enough to do it, but I think if he was shooting consistently enough, he would be a tough matchup. He really would be, because you got to pick your poison. And I do like the fact of how he's able to handle the ball and how strong he is. And he's just really, really confident. And, you know, I'm going to have a story on our site from Illini guys, which is going to be really nice, of how that happened and why this kid is why he's wired the way he is wired. Things just don't bother him.
Yeah, I know. Totally agree. Now, and of course, you know, Gary A was 15 and 11. So yet another double double for him. You know, the man, he just knows where the ball is going to be at times, you know, just a heck of a game for him. What were your thoughts on Guerriere, and could it be that had he come here originally, he might have made so much of a difference on that Io Kofi team with actual power forward? Wouldn't that have been fun?
Oh, Mike, without a doubt. I mean, you can see Brad Underwood's system fits him perfectly. They find where he's effective. I mean, this guy can go rebound. He didn't rebound like this at his other schools. I mean, let's call a spade. You could go back, you know, it's 2024. Go look on Google. The statistics are there. This kid is flying to get rebounds. I think he had at least 3 tip dunks today. He's shooting it at a higher clip. He defends really, really well. He's a tough matchup. And one time tonight, he went to the basket and he scored. And Steve Pikel turned to his coaches and said, we did not account for that. So, because everything was Terrence Shannon, obviously Marcus Domask, and Coleman Hawkins. It's easy to forget about him, and I don't understand why. I mean, I think he's put up 5 or 6 double-doubles this year. He has played well against great competition, average competition, and he is the one guy on that team that I never see Brad Underwood have to direct him or even Coleman or anybody where to be. He's very intelligent. I mean, it stinks that he didn't have another year of basketball, but Mike, to answer your question, he is really, really special.
Now, Coleman Hawkins today ended up with 12 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists. You know, I thought he played well. I thought he got kind of hung up a couple times by his teammates who would get him the ball with about 3 to 4 seconds left on the shot clock, and then he's left trying to shoot some sort of three, which I think put him in a bad place a couple times.
Yeah, that's happened to him a couple times, and you know, for selfish reasons, you don't have to shoot it, you know, but I know why he does, and I know Terrence did it to him one time. Once Terrence gets his game legs back underneath him, that probably won't happen coming from Terrence. Coleman didn't start off shooting the ball well, but even when he missed, he was confident. It's just nice watching him play. And, you know, we need to give him credit. Now, there was a couple calls that didn't go his way, but his antics are different. He's not saying anything, but I think his boss is doing it for him. I think Brad is starting to trip a little bit at some of these officials and how they call him. And, you know, teams are going to continue to pound the ball inside against Coleman. What he's learned to do, which is a nice, you know, art for him, he's starting to strip the ball more. And then traffic officials don't see it, so they don't call it. I think he had at least, I mean, I don't have the computer in front of me. I know he had at least one or two steals again tonight, Mike.
No, Ked, he had 5. 5 steals.
And correct me if I'm wrong, I know I'm 875 years old. Didn't he have 6 steals against Michigan the other night? I mean, that's impressive, yeah. Man, for a 6'10 guy.
Yeah, I mean, just unbelievable. You know, it's you can see why, of course, you know, you and I and Brad have been on the Coleman's going to play in the NBA bandwagon for quite a few years, and we've taken our fair share of scars. But, boy, the all-around game that he has really translates to what they're trying to do at that NBA level.
Well, it does, and I don't know, Mike. There's a little bird told me, man, if some things fall into place, because people may not realize this, Mr. Number 33, Coleman Hawkins, has another year of COVID eligibility. So there's a possibility that he could come back if chips fall in the right place. It was talked about. It was talked about last night. So we'll wait and see. But I know right now, according to the people in his camp, the NBA scouts are now saying this is the guy that we wanted to see. So depending upon where he goes in the draft, and you know, and if he can get that guaranteed money, it remains to be seen. Hopefully, yeah, They'll make the mistake that Kofi made and then just go away and then make less money playing overseas.
No, and that's the thing that I think you're seeing both in the NFL draft and in the NBA draft, is with the opportunity to make, let's just ballpark it, you know, $1 million a year for many rookie contracts, depending on where you're drafted at, you may not make $1 million a year. So why not build your skills? And if you take a look at how Coleman's playing this year versus last year, if he takes another step like that, you know, then all of a sudden maybe you are a guy that, despite your being a little bit older, you're going higher in the draft. So people forget that when Larry Bird was drafted, you know, out of Indiana State, he was significantly older than most players at the time. So if you get a well-rounded player who has all those things, it's well worth it from the NBA standpoint. And maybe you don't get a kid at 19, but you're also not stuck with the first 5 years of your career where you're not certain if he's the guy you thought he was either. So that there's pluses and minuses to everything. Now, the player of the game, in my eyes, was Justin Harmon. 18 points. He had 8 rebounds, 1 assist. You know, it had a block shot, and that, I mean, his elevator went to the, I was thinking, if people who are really old remember David Thompson, he was called the Skywalker because of how high he got. And I'm telling you what, man, Harmon looked like he was trying to jump, touch the top of the bank board and maybe even leave some change up there.
Here's the deal with Justin Harmon. They brought him in to do exactly what he did today. In the first seven games, he was just a body out there. They played him because he was older. Today is why they brought him in. Think about this. Look at the big picture. Say for you go to a tournament, an NCAA tournament, Terrence Shannon gets in foul trouble. Guess what? You don't lose anything with Justin Harmon. He's another weapon. He's another guy you could bring off the bench. Luke Goody, who will probably come off the bench again at some point in time, is another weapon. Justin Harmon, to me, he's a good shooter. He knows his role. I remember sitting in the press conference with Tom Izzo. He mentioned, you know, how big his timely his threes are, and he's not sped up. Kind of like Marcus Domas, but they're older guys and they've been around. He's crafty around the basket. He plays hard. He runs hard. A lot of guys celebrate. He knocked down a three today and he was the first guy back. So having guys like that that are older, and that's what's tough for a lot of people who see the way the game is changing. Freshmen are great. Don't get me wrong. They're special. But there's nothing better than getting old because you got older guys that's been around. Nothing is going to faze them. You know, Justin Harmon in the NIT last year put up 30-something points against Wisconsin. So these kids have been around.
Yep. Yeah, and I will tell you, who knows? We'll have to see if he has a COVID year. Maybe, you know, maybe the next big thing is you have Harmon and Hawkins coming back next year, and now you add that to Amores Johnson. Holy cow, that might be a lot of fun. And then finally, let's talk about the you know, the big guy, Terrence Shannon Jr. returns. And it was a tough, you know, game because he's not in game shape. There's a difference between running wind sprints and having adrenaline and your heart beating in an actual game situation. Yet he still ended up with 16 points, 4 out of 10 shooting, 8 from 10 from the free throw line, was 0 for 5 from the three. Had 4 assists, in particular 2 thunderous dunks to Hawkins early in the game. It really played well. Only had a turnover. I thought he played quite well today.
He did. Like I said, other than his jump shot, which we knew was probably not going to be on, but there was a chance that it could have been. He was solid, and more Illinois missed him more than anything with this team was defensively. I know before he went out, they were one of the top 15 teams in the country defensively. When he went out, I think they dropped significantly. So having him back defensively is a big part. Once he gets his offense going, the three, he's different. He adds another dimension to this team because nobody is catching him. I don't know. I'm asking. I'm not trying to pretend that I know. You're not supposed to be able to dribble basketball and not run a defender without a ball. And somehow this cat can do it. I don't know how he's able to do it. Those guys from the side feed is so long and so quick. It's just amazing. And I remember talking to his mother once, and she gave me the comment that the issue right underway deserves all the credit for this. He deserves the credit for bringing him on, giving him the confidence to be who he is. He was injured in high school. He's come a long way. And now you're seeing what everybody else is seeing. And at Texas Tech, Mike, he was coming out of the game. You miss a shot, you come out, and he wasn't who he is now. So kudos goes to Coach Brad Underwood for that.
Yes, and it was fun to see him back. Obviously, we want that situation in Lawrence, Kansas resolved and the truth to be found, and we'll leave it at that. But it was good to have him back, and certainly due process. You know, that just because you're a student athlete doesn't mean you don't get the same rights as all the other students there. And then obviously the presumption of you're innocent until proven guilty is a key foundational point. And we stand firmly behind those two things. Recruiting wise, Kedrick, there we saw in your Twitter that there were numerous recruits there today. Maybe give us a little thumbnail of what people could be looking for if they were subscribed to Illini Guys in terms of articles you have coming.
Today is a day, or tomorrow, a couple of days. There's a lot of new, you know, today they have Gabe Soroscar on campus today. He's being recruited. I butchered that last name. by Tim Anderson. This kid, I talked to him today. He's a 2026. How good is he? He told me he has offers from about all the Big Ten. And he liked what he saw today. Anthony Thompson's a kid from Ohio, 6'10", 6'7", kid out of nowhere. Real good kid I was able to talk to. Marez Johnson was on campus today. Had a chance to talk to him and, you know, not take anything away from him and being taken for granted. Then Phoenix Gill, another guy on campus. And, you know, I was talking to Kenny Battle afterwards, and Kenny just made, he just said, "Kid, I'm going to tell you the truth. Kendall really wants his son to be at Illinois." He talked about his offers and how much it would mean to him to play at Illinois and his family, but they're going to wait this whole process out. So, number of recruiting stories, and Jeremiah Fears will be announcing tomorrow, which is going to be really, really nice. If Illinois can land this kid, he's a 2025 kid, top 25 kid per ESPN. I wrote a piece on him. I'm going to turn it in tonight during the game. Sorry, I was supposed to be paying attention to the game about the possibilities of Illinois landing him. So there's a lot of good information out there about recruiting. And I did get a text from his dad during the game. And, you know, it wasn't a nice response because his other son plays for Michigan State. So I kind of ended the conversation. I didn't want to talk to him. But, you know, maybe there'll be good news tomorrow. I know there's a Illini guy subscriber Zoom tomorrow. So maybe all those recruiting questions you have. And now's the time to join, Mike.
Perfect. Perfect. So I think Brad Sturdy is just about to enter the studio. So let's take a quick break and we will be right back after this message.
Whether you live in Champaign or Chicago, halfway across the country or on the other side of the world, IlliniGuys.com keeps you in the know. Be it in-game results, top-level stories, or the latest behind-the-scenes info and recruiting, IlliniGuys.com has you covered. For about 25 cents a day, you can have an inside path to your favorite Illini teams. And we'll even throw in a free 7-day trial to kick the tires. Go to IlliniGuys.com, click the register button, and get immediate access to dozens of stories each month, message forums, free giveaways, and more. IlliniGuys.com.
And as promised, Brad Sturdy has stepped into the Illini Guys studios. Brad, you got to see quite a game today. A lot of moving parts here. We had a Rutgers team that looked like they were reeling. Then somehow they started to get some open looks, came back to make it 55-51 with 10:31 left in the game. The Illini go crazy, outscore them 31-12 for the rest of the game. Terrence Shannon returns. Justin Harmon looks like an All-American. Coleman Hawkins has a good all-around game. Quincy Guerriere gets a double-double. You know, Marcus Domask has a solid game. There's a lot of things to talk about, Brad. So you tell me what jumped out at you.
Well, you know, here's the reality is the story of the day is Terrence Shannon. I mean, that's the story of college basketball. You have a first-team All-American, one of the top five players in the country, perhaps one of the top two, who is back and playing. And that takes this Illinois team from what is a legit top 15 or 20 team into a legit top 5 or 10 team. And this is where that's the difference. And you saw it today, and I'm going to highlight a couple things where – you know, as Rutgers came back 55-51, Shannon makes two plays in transition and finishes, and suddenly it's 60-51. And this is the type of thing that they didn't have last week against Maryland, was they didn't have that guy to make those plays, get an easy bucket when they needed it. So, yeah, really impressive from him. And the other guy, I think that, you know, Justin Harmon, we're starting to see the Justin Harmon turn into Justin Harmon. And this is, I don't know if people, like, sometimes we come into this, and even Marcus Domask had a little bit of a transition, although, you know, obviously he's playing really well of late. But it's hard for guys who come into a new situation to just immediately hit the ground running and be perfect. I mean, Andres Feliz is one of the most popular dudes we've had, right? Everybody loved Andres Feliz. He was in December of his first year at Illinois. Everybody, I mean, I was there. I was on the message board. Everybody's ready to get rid of that dude.
Yep.
I mean, everybody hated him. He sucks. He's not any good. Why would we recruit this guy? He's just, I don't understand it. And he turned out okay, right? I mean, he turned out to be a fan favorite. We've seen Jacob Grandison struggled when he first started playing, you know, and he had a year of like transition where, you know, he got to play, you know, a year of practice. And so too many times we give up on people. Justin Harmon is playing in a different role. He's just been great. I mean, I think he's double figures in what, 5 of the last 7 games. He's just been really good, and that's really all you can ask from your sixth man. Underwood had some great stuff about him today, saying he's been really hard on him, but he's accepted his role. He said he's my dude. And so, and Tim Anderson, you know, said that, you know, he's a guy who everybody, you know, we talk about connectors on the court. He said he's a connector off the court. Like, he gets, you know, everybody kind of loves Justin. This is the kind, I mean, these are what you added in the portal. I mean, it's just fantastic what they will do. And, you know, Coleman Hawkins continues to be just an elite all-round player on both ends of the floor.
Yeah, I'm thinking it is pretty amazing what he has done. And I'm going to add him to my list now, Brad. We talked about Coleman Hawkins maybe having, you know, a COVID season, and Kedrick has said that, you know, maybe his group would look and see where his draft status is, and maybe COVID year would make some sense. Does Justin Harmon have a COVID year left or not?
This is his COVID year.
Oh,
he's done. So yeah, this, I mean, you know, and I think the one thing about Hawkins is the way he's playing right now, you would love to have him back, but the way he's playing right now, he won't want to come back because he's playing himself into an NBA player. I mean, he's just doing it on both ends, showing the switchability, ability to guard guys. And let's be honest, we put him in a, people say, well, Cliff, you know, had 22 points, whatever. Cliff is a legit big man who scored 22 points. And it took him 19 shots to do it.
Yep.
It was good. He scored 22 points. But Coleman's at a disadvantage. But the fact that he could do that against the big guy, but also then get switched on the point guard and guard him, it tells you pretty much all you need to know about his versatility.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. And it's interesting because Ked and I were talking, and maybe Guerrier not coming to Illinois – what was it, 3-4 years ago, that may be the biggest moment of all time, because my goodness, you know, he has another double-double with 15 and 11. One wonders if you'd have seen him with Io and Kofi, just how much effect he would have had on that team, because he's doing incredible stuff this year. It's he's been a heck of a grab by the staff.
No question. I mean, you talk about Guerrier, and, you know, I think a lot of people knew him, and I think Mark Stamask as well. I mean, those guys are just fantastic, and Guerrier brings a dimension of rebounding that you just can't replicate. I mean, he is so good at it. When he's engaged, he's packing the basket. There was an exchange where he drove to the basket, and he kind of went up a little soft and lost the ball miss or whatever, and Underwood got on him. He said, dunk the friggin' ball, and Guerrier kind of, he said, come here, and he told him, and he made another comment about, you know, being soft, and he's a freshman who would have, like, wet himself at that moment. Like, and Guerrier just kind of laughed it off, and guess what he did the next time? Hey, he dunked it, right? I mean, so I was waiting for him to look at Underwood and say, yeah, there you go, coach. But, he, you know, these are the kind of things you get from mature players. But he's just he can shoot the three. He's great at attacking closeouts and getting the basket. He has the ability to defend. Again, he's a versatile defender. You can switch him on guards. You can have him guard big guys. Really impressive guy. And Damascus is probably, I always thought that defense would be a struggle for him, but I thought he's been really good defensively, just solid, understands angles, understands how to use his physicality on the defensive end, and obviously offensively we know. You know, basically they play through him. He's the guy that they play through.
Yep. And, you know, it was very interesting when they were talking about on the broadcast, Robbie Hummel brought up, somebody asked about who plays what minutes. And with Terrence Shannon coming back, Robbie made a comment about players make sacrifices to win. And he looked at this as a potential Final Four team. And so he looked at a reshuffling of the minutes and as being a positive thing that could lead to even more Illini success, even though maybe a few guys might not play quite as much or put up quite as many stats. They're still capable of it, but they're not needed on a game in, game out basis.
Yeah, I agree. And that's a key point. Like, Damascus going into the Michigan game is what scoring like in 25 points a game since Shannon went out. I don't think you're going to see any him have to do that. I'm not, but that doesn't mean he might not score 25 one game.
Yep.
Right.
Exactly.
And, people, you don't see that. And Jerry has had I think he had a 30 point game. Was it against Missouri? But you know, but he doesn't need to do that consistently. You need to have, you're going to have balance at five guys in double figures. And that's, I mean, it's just elite, what they're doing. And this is exactly what Brad Underwood envisioned, putting this team together. I mean, would he like to have one more, I would say, like, really guy who can really secure the ball, you know, one more really good ball handler? I think he would. But other than that, I think this is exactly the kind of team he'd like to put together year in and year out.
Well, it actually, with the way this team scores, it's really the closest thing he's had to Stephen F. Austin in terms of, you know, just offensive efficiency. And this team, you got to go back to the early 90s, you know, the Kauffman era for a team that scored like these guys do.
Yeah, this team scores at electric pace. Like, again today, 86 points against the number 9 defense in the country. I mean, and not only that, you missed a million free throws, it seemed like, and you couldn't draw. You shot 6 of 27 from 3. When you're doing that, and you're still scoring 86 points, it means you might be pretty good.
Yeah, I was actually laughing about the free throws. Is they dipped under 60% for this game, and I'm like, just two games ago we were feeling like that was solved. In the last two games, well, maybe not.
Yeah, you know, and obviously Damascus is a, you know, what, almost 90% free throw shooter, and Shannon's shooting 8 for 10, but you know, today Guerrier just had a rough day and he got fouled a lot, missed some free throws, or he'd had a 20-point game probably. But the other thing was, I think that, you know, the threes, I mean, what if they make 10 out of 27, which is like, or 9 out of 27? That's not a crazy number, 33%, which is probably exactly what, you know, they shoot a little better than that on the season. But if they make 9 out of 27, now that's 9 more points, and then you're talking 95 points.
Yeah.
Make up free throws at your percentage, and now you're, I mean, they're a 100-point game. I mean, it's just insane what they're doing offensively. It's so much fun to watch, and at the end of the day, I think the biggest impact Terrence Shannon's going to make is he can get you in transition and get those baskets. Obviously, that's huge because you get some easy buckets that you would have to work for. But where he helps is this becomes a much better team defensively when he's on the floor because of his ability to guard people. Just sit down and guard virtually anybody in the country on the wing or at the guard position.
Well, when I was talking to Connor Kegley, who does some articles for us, he said the other thing that Terrence Shannon does on defense that turns into offense, but with his speed and how well he is at turning a layup or a dunk, you know, opportunity into actual points, he said the only comparison he could think of for a guy who can get out that fast and is that efficient is LeBron. And, you know, when you watch, when all of a sudden the teams can't send everybody to rebound because you're going to have a dunk contest layup line for Terrence Shannon Jr. all by himself, it's really amazing what pressure he puts on the other team.
Yeah, I think we talked about that in our podcast the other day about how the impact that he has on the offensive rebounding of the other team. And remember, they went into a game, they gave up 42 offensive rebounds over a three-game span heading into Michigan without him. In large part because teams aren't worried about transition then. And so right now with him, you better have two guys back. Like, you literally have to get two guys back because if you don't, you only have, if he's one-on-one coming downhill, he's scoring or he's getting fouled 90% of the time. It's just that simple. And you know, or he's finding another guy for a wide open three or a dunk or whatever, like he did. And I thought it was good today. Twice he got out of transition, he was able to find Hawkins for, you know, the dunks. But they were, you know, they were easy passes. It just got him kind of acclimated to playing here and getting there. And, you know, the elephant in the room, obviously, is that you know, he's got, you know, obviously off the court issues that he's going to have to be dealing with over the next few times. But I think this is his, I think when he's on the basketball court, that's kind of his safe space, if that's a term.
Yeah, his therapy.
Yeah, it is. I mean, just go there. Concentrate on basketball. Doesn't have to think about anything else going on outside of the team. And I think that's huge. I think it's really good for him from a mental health standpoint.
So, Brad, just to remind fans, we're going to have a subscriber-only Zoom. We always have to go to the Zoom people and make sure we get more seats, because it just goes, every one of these, we end up having way more subscribers than we anticipated. But we also had, and Kedrick was there, Kedrick had the opportunity to talk to Morez Johnson, Phoenix Gill, Gabe Solarski, Anthony Thompson. I mean, I know that the portal is a big deal, but you also have to have a heartbeat of young guys coming through the program, like, let's say, Coleman Hawkins, you know, like Luke Goody. This is a talented crew of people who are coming through to see this Illini team. Must be pretty exciting for them to be able to watch what they could be a part of.
Yeah, no question. The other part about this, see, you have to understand, too, sometimes it's not about getting that guy the first time even. Terrence Shannon, remember, Eleanor recruited him very, very hard out of high school.
Yep.
He didn't pick Illinois. I think he's happy where he's at now, though.
Yes.
They recruited Dane Danger, you know, and now he's at Illinois. They recruited Quincy Guerrier really hard and got
twice.
Him through the training court. Twice, yeah. This is the third time's the charm, right? You know, I think he's happy with where he's at, right? So this is, you know, part of the high school recruiting, obviously you want to get players, but it's not always about that. And the high school guys they have right now, the three guys who are seniors committed, you know, we're going to, I think on Monday we may be talking about another one, but I would say this, we've got, in 2024, they have, these three guys are having great high school seasons. You know, Perez Johnson, I think he's playing like a McDonald's All-American. He shows that versatility. I mean, they're playing him. If you watched Martin play, they use him on offense a little bit like Illinois uses Hawkins on in the sense they play through him. But then he goes and posts up after he does it. Instead of being a pick-and-pop guy, although he has shown the ability to make threes, he gets down in the paint where he can attack the offensive glass, where he can score in the post and those things. Jason Jackson had 16 points and 22 rebounds, and they beat Whitney Young last night. So, fantastic game from him. And Chase Butler has been just tearing people up. There's even services that have him ranked in the top 50 now because of his play this year. I mean, his ability to score, he's big, physical. I mean, if you watch him play and you don't come away thinking like Darren Williams or Jalen Brunson or somebody like that, then I don't know. That's just his style of play. It's just fantastic. Great passer, and he can really shoot it, and he can score when he needs to, just a big physical guard. So this is a really special group. So as you look at, you recruit these guys, and then in 2025, you recruit the 2025, 2026 kids. You don't necessarily know what you're going to need when that time comes. You don't know who's going to be there. So you get good players. You've got to take three high school kids about every class, and odds are you're not going to keep them all for 4 years, but you're going to keep them, and you're going to get key players like Luke Goody and like Coleman Hawkins that just stick it out. And, you know, it just sometimes it's going to take time. I really think, you know, the guys they have now, Monty Hansberry, right, is going to be a really good player. Just needs some, he's going to need some time to get healthy now and just get some experience. I think he should be really good. Nico Moretti, you know, et cetera. Great to get the horn and then run down the line.
Yes. And I will also say that on that subscriber only Zoom event, you know, you have, we'll also talk about some success that we discussed, you know, on the football field side of the recruiting, because Coach Bielema and his staff have landed some key position in offensive lineman, but more importantly, a defensive lineman with obviously some injury history, but who would fulfill a massive need on the defensive line. So there's really a ton to talk about tomorrow, isn't there?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of questions about the Shannon stuff and so forth, but I think portal, but he's done a really good job addressing needs this offseason and filling guys in. You know, obviously it has to be young guys who can step up, but you've got to have some veteran guys to be available. If the young guys aren't ready or don't pan out, you got to have guys who can step in and be plug-and-play guys. And he's done a really good job of that.
Yep. Yeah, he takes a lot of crap, but I think, you know, as you look at where the Illini football program is, got it in a much better place than when he took it over. One other thing, this has nothing to do with the Illini, but I thought I had to bring it up to you. Security of the basketball court when fans rush the court. Did you see Caitlin Clark get wiped out by a fan as Ohio State rushed the court after beating Iowa, although Caitlin did have 45 in a losing effort?
Yeah, that was the first time they stopped her the whole day. I did see the video of that. You know, and I want things to be fun. Like, I'm a big fun guy. Like, I think it should be fun. I don't mind trash talk. I don't mind any of that stuff. I think that too, we cut down on some stuff. I want kids to have fun in the crowd. But at the same time, can you imagine if the number one draw in college hoops, and I'm telling you right now, Caitlin Clark is the number one draw in men or women's college hoops. She sells out road games.
Yep.
I don't know. I mean, you're talking guys do that in the NBA, Steph or somebody. I mean, right? LeBron, Michael Jordan. I mean, she is that. She sells out games on the road just because they want to see Caitlin Clark. If she had gotten hurt, like, and she says she's okay now, but if she got hurt, can you imagine, like, the ramifications there? You know, the number one player in college basketball gets hurt and on a top five team because of a court storming. So there has to be, I think we have to figure out how we're going to handle it and almost make it something where, we have a controlled court storming, if that makes sense. You know, and we understand. I mean, I've been on the court, like, during those times. I think it was 2013 when Illinois beat number one Indiana on the Tyler Griffey shot. And I was obviously behind the bench, and then I got to go out on the court. I was actually standing talking with Robert Archibald, Lucas Johnson. They were there at that game, interestingly. And then I thought, you know, and then 2 years ago when Illinois won the Big Ten by beating Iowa, our colleague on Atlanta guys, Dan Bando, became an internet legend with his as he scooted out on the floor. It was pretty wild. But you always wonder about the safety in those situations, like, and that's the big key. And you have to come up with a way to make sure those players can get off the floor.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a lot different, you know, if you bump into, let's say you go out there and, you know, you run into Kofi Coburn or you run into Zach Edey, you know, that's like, if I ran into either of those two guys, that's like shooting spit wads at Godzilla. But when, you know, Caitlin Clark, obviously, or a basketball guard or, you know, significant on the men's side are significantly smaller. You know, I don't think Draven Gibbs Lawhorn weighs much more than 170 pounds, you know. And so the safety aspect, I don't necessarily have an answer to this. But, boy, you would hate to see, as you said, the biggest draw possibly in all of college athletics, you know, get injured in a play that didn't need to happen, and it really wasn't a play. It was just a post game event. I don't even know what you call it.
I think that's why you will see Caitlin Clark probably go to the WNBA and take a lot of her sponsorships with that. Obviously she's still going to have a lot of those sponsors through it, or won't be NIL then. It will be like, you know, no shell sponsors, but yeah, I think that makes sense for her to move on because there's nothing, she doesn't really have anything left to prove at the collegiate level. And there's no fans at WNBA games, so she won't have to worry about that. So,
State Farm's not going anywhere, so she's fine.
Yep. or Hy-Vee or all the other ones she has.
So yep.
That's possible. And, you know, so, maybe she might be the girl who makes the WNBA matter. I know it's crazy. She might make people interested in the game.
It doesn't take – people don't understand, but, you know, you had Larry and Magic who basically took a league that was on life support and made it matter. And then Michael Jordan took it from orbiting the planet into the Starship Enterprise. And, you know, now the NBA that we all see and think, really, I guess maybe Dr. J kept it alive all by himself. Then Magic and Larry resuscitated it and made it a big deal. And then Michael Jordan made it the international sport that it is today. And you wonder, you know, does Caitlin Clark run into that rare air where she can make a difference in an entire sport like that?
Yeah, and, you know, those type of people who transcend it are rare, but I think she might be that person because, you know, here's the thing that she does too, and I know we've gotten off tangent. Well, she does, like, do you realize she takes her shoes after every game and signs them and gives them to a young girl?
That's great, isn't it?
I mean, these are the kinds of things the NBA players do, but she does it as a college athlete. It's astonishing, and what it does is she just made a fan for life. Every time she plays a game, and not just one fan, she probably makes a group of fans go, oh, this is cool. And it just, she's just, I don't know how to say it, but she's like she's a dream for little girls out there. And it's really impressive to see this. I mean, because although, you know, everybody might want to be like Mike, the reality is nobody can be like Mike. But, you know, there are a lot more people who could be like, a lot more girls who could be like Caitlin Clark than there are guys who could be like Michael Jordan.
Oh, I agree. And that's not to minimize anything she's done, but I do think that is huge. And you see that across sports, you know, the one that I look at is probably the most famous athlete of all time would be Muhammad Ali, who, you know, when he came into the sport of boxing, which was obviously a long sport with a history, but, you know, you could go to a tribe in Africa. You could go to a skyscraper in Manhattan. You could go to behind the communist wall and everybody knew who Muhammad Ali was, Michael Jordan. And you wonder, Caitlin Clark, with the basketball going international, you wonder if she becomes that figure for her sport.
Yeah, what if she plays on the Olympic team, too?
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, just so many options for that young lady. You know, she's very impressive.
Yep. So any other things, as we've waxed a little philosophic there, but that's what people get when they get our show. They get not just sports expertise, but they get cultural acumen as well.
I'm really, and I say this in all sincerity, and over the years, you know, I will be critical of the University of Illinois for the way they handle things. Now, I think that not putting Shannon on social media through their Twitter or whatever, I mean, I'm sure they don't want to promote it, whatever, that's fine. I disagree with that, I think, you know, because he is the story of college basketball today. But they've done a really good job handling this and overall, this situation as they've gone through this and, you know, bringing him off the bench, little things that they've, just the way they've allowed him to just become a basketball player and, you know, not really address the other side. And I think they've done a really good job. Josh Whitman on down. And so kudos to them. That's something, you know, they have a history of kind of, you know, finding a way to screw things up over in various things. But they have done a great job of managing this, I think, and the way they've, you know, statements, the way they've handled it. So kudos to them. And this LA basketball team is legit, guys. They're legit. They are a legit top 5 or 10 team. I think that they are a team that just started clicking, and now they got to get back clicking again, you know, on all cylinders, but they're close to being where they were. I mean, when you looked at the way they played against Missouri, I mean, they were just, and I know Missouri's not great, but they've been so
exactly. Well, that sums it up quite well. Folks, we will be back, obviously, Wednesday night. A tough game on the road at Northwestern. We will have a...
State Farm Center North.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. We will have a podcast after that game, so stay tuned for that. And, of course, you can also catch our other podcasts, Sturdy for 30, Keds Recruiting Roundup, and, of course, every single week, the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. We take our radio broadcast that's all the way across the state of Illinois, over 20 stations. You can hear us from Chicago all the way down to St. Louis, everywhere in between. You can also get that podcast. It usually comes out Fridays, and you can listen to the latest in Illini sports. You don't have to worry about any politics. You don't have to worry too much about LeBron, and you don't have to worry about the Yankees versus the Red Sox. It's just Illini stuff and fun sports things. As you literally could have won millions if you had listened to our show over the last 3 months. Because during the football season, if you would have taken my college and NFL picks, done the exact opposite of what I said, you probably wouldn't need to work now. So there's other benefits to listening to our show, but please take a look at all those. And again, if you want to be a subscriber, you've thought about being a subscriber to the Illini Guys, now is the time to do it, because on Monday night, 7:15 Central, there is a subscriber only Zoom call. You probably need to make sure you get in and sign up by about 4 o'clock, just to make sure there's no last minute hurdles that prevent you from jumping in. It'll be well worth it. You get 6 days to kick the tires. On the seventh day, we bill you, and you will love it. It is a fantastic community to be a part of. And when we say community, that's really what it is. The message boards are a lot of fun. Tons of Illini fans arguing about this, that, and the other thing, and also enjoying recruiting, enjoying portal combat, enjoying all the back stories that can't be put out there, because you, in journalism, you know, you have to have sources that'll go online. Sometimes we'll give you some of the rumors, the innuendos, what really happened, and that makes it all worth it. So with that, we will be back in 1 minute to wrap up this show. Thank you so much.
Make sure you subscribe to the full family of Illini Guys podcast, starting with our signature Eye on the Illini series, which discusses recent Illini events. Sturdy for 30 is where veteran Illini insider and analyst Brad Sturdy talks with experts and people in the know. And Ked's Recruiting Roundup, where IlliniGuys.com director of recruiting Kedrick Prince talks with players, parents, and coaches about the next wave of Illini student athletes. Stay in the know with Illini Guys podcasts. Find them wherever you download your podcasts.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. We appreciate each and every one of you. If you're a subscriber to IlliniGuys.com, a double thank you. We will be having an IlliniGuys.com subscriber only Zoom event tomorrow night. That will be Monday the 22nd, 7:15 Central. You need to get joined up and ready to go. We would love to see you as part of our community. Thank you very much for Brad and Ked for dropping in and talking a little bit about what you saw this afternoon down in Champaign. And we will hear you later this week. Go Illini!
Save big money on your next painting project. Menards carries Purdy paintbrushes, roller covers, trays, and paint kits to help you get the job done right. Purdy brushes are handcrafted in the USA and are the number one brand preferred by professionals. Save big on Purdy painting tools at Menards, America's number one home improvement retailer for customer satisfaction, according to J.D. Power. For J.D. Power 2024 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
Save big money at Menards.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.